When you need information,
you go to an expert.
Not just anybody, but someone who's been right on the money before. So when it comes to gaming, odds, and more, you've come to the right place.
You're listening
to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Welcome back into the Early Line. This is hour number two right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on a Monday morning. And we open it up with some college football, the beautiful world of college football, where a team, maybe deservingly, gets put inside a top four from the College Football Playoff Committee. But I'm sure that committee, Michigan State, Purdue, and college football fans alike knew what was going to come. And it was a Purdue washing of Michigan State. A double-digit victory. Donnie, the Spartans go down. You love to see it.
No, you do love to see it, especially from a guy that bet their season win total under 5.5 games where they went 8-0 to open up. But then again, I say to myself, look, sometimes I don't have the best eyesight. Sometimes some of the wagers I make don't make that much sense. I actually thought I was betting the Big Ten wins under 5.5 because Michigan State now 5 wins and 1 loss in. So maybe I can switch into that and sort of play off of that one. But Aiden O'Connell, 40 of 54 versus that Spartan dog defense for 536 yards and 3 touchdowns. What a performance by Purdue, hanging 40 points on the Michigan State Spartans. But also, give it, Kenneth Walker, 23 carries, 146, and a touchdown. And they really weren't in this game altogether. Didn't this seem like one of those spots, Kevin, we're oddsmen. Like, we like to read the odds board here. Now, hold on here. Purdue's only getting 3 points in this game. What gives? Well, you know what gives? That Michigan State defense, 69 total points scored in this game, 40 by Purdue. They deserve to win the game. They were the better football team Saturday.
Quickly, if we're going to talk about the win totals, Oregon State is going to probably lose out and go over their win total by 0.5. They just fired their defensive coordinator. They have 3 Pac-12 wins, and they were against USC, Washington, and Utah. That is just so unfair. Also, Duke, it was like Duke's week. They were like up 10 against Pitt and then didn't cover a 3-touchdown spread. I love that Blue Devils team. I cannot wait to cheer home the final 3 weeks of action as it pertains to them. Look, Michigan State, a predictable loss. You could argue they maybe control their own destiny because they still have Ohio State on the schedule. But is that really good for Michigan State? I mean, C.J. Stroud might already have 500 yards in that game, and it hasn't even started. But what I thought was interesting, Donnie, is we have a new AP poll, which is useless. Cincinnati and Bama's, they're 2-3 in the poll. Neither one of those teams look quite good here. Bama's 6-point victory over LSU or Cincinnati's 8-point victory over Tulsa. Either of those results current concerning for those teams' outlook as it pertains to the CFP?
I do think they're concerning. Now, the one thing with Alabama, Kevin, is Alabama can win by 1 point, you know, the entire way out and get into the college football playoff. Why? Because they're going to play Georgia in the SEC final. If they beat Georgia, that will be a Herculean effort, as it appears now, with how talented they are. But I'm still worried about Cincinnati. Like, Cincinnati sits in that 2 spot here in the AP poll, almost lost to Tulsa. But this is one of those years, Kevin, where maybe you don't have 7 or 8 teams vying for those 4 spots with nobody, you know, some unbeatens coming in. Because it looks like Cincinnati's probably going to run the table. Now, the question comes in, would we be talking Cincinnati right now, who is 9-0, if they played in the SEC or if they played, you know, in another big football conference outside, you know, the group of fives as compared to the power fives? It'll be interesting as it goes. I do think Cincinnati would deserve to be in it. Like, let's just say Cincinnati's 9-0. Her finish is unbeaten. Alabama has 2 losses, not going to get in. Oklahoma runs the table, they'll get in. But Oregon, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State. Now, they're going to play. Some of these teams are going to play each other, knock each other out. But it looks like now you're taking a look at Cincinnati, probably going to make it in just by default, Kevin.
The radio audience in full effect. Appreciate all those listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside breaking down some college football here on a Monday morning. I got to be honest with you, Donnie, you should stick to your guns. All year long, Donnie has said, all I want is a 1-loss Notre Dame to jump an unbeaten Cincinnati. And you are going to get it on Tuesday from the committee. You're going to get it. Because you know why? They should jump them. At the end of the day, Notre Dame just played Navy. They beat them 34-6. Now, you might say, who's going to brag about beating Navy by 28? Cincinnati would have! 28.5 point favorites. Navy had the football chance to go win a game. Tulsa knocking on their doorstep the whole way. I get it.
You wanted the Bearcats to be the first non-Power 5 team or the first Group of 5 team to get in. It ain't going to happen. They're not that good. I told you that when the Notre Dame game happened. You thought it was sour grapes. It wasn't sour grapes. They're not that good. But don't worry, this will all be solved. They're going to end up losing a game, whether it is SMU, whether it is going to end up being the American Championship. It does not matter. They will probably be losing a game. They certainly will not make it in to the college football playoff. It's just the state of affairs. There's one more note I wanted to bring up, though, DRS, and it's about our win totals. Oklahoma State, the Cowboys. Yeah. First of all, over 7.5. You love this team. But also, Donnie, this team is very much live for a spot in the college football playoff. TCU, Texas Tech, and then they host Oklahoma. If this team is a one-loss Big 12 champion, why can't they make the CFP?
No, you're right. It's one of those teams that we sort of like looked down on during the season, even though they're rolling, and we took an over of their team total. He said, I don't know how they're winning. Usually it's by aerial assault, 47-27 wins. Now all of a sudden they have a lights-out defense and a dominant ground game. They knock off Oklahoma. They're going to be in the college football playoff if they have one loss, knock off Oklahoma, win the Big 12 championship, and roll on. I like this team. And yes, they cashed a ticket for us.
They absolutely did. I probably won't cash another college football win total. I'm hoping to push on Ohio State, though. Keep winning out. Oregon, what a bunch of nonsense that is. My goodness, man. College football continuing to deliver. Tomorrow, the committee will give us their fresh top 25. Can't wait to see who's 23rd. NBA preview is next.
The Sports Grid Radio Network presents This Date in Sports History.
Not only will Tom Dempsey hit this one, he's got a very slight win at his back. He'll set a National Football League record in addition to winning the game.
1970, Tom Dempsey of the Saints kicks a then-NFL record 63-yard field goal.
It's good! I don't believe it! The field goal attempt was good from 63 yards away!
For Sports Grid Radio, I'm Mike Demergis.
Let's hit some NBA preview here in hour number two, and we'll open it up with the Lakers-Hornets here. Hornets on the second leg of a back-to-back, played last night against the LA Clippers in a defeat, but now they get the easier LA team. Call it what it is. Lakers are a mess. Can't sugarcoat it. LeBron's out. Updated timeline suggesting that it might be significantly longer than the 1 week that they had suggested. This Lakers team is a legendary level of fade right now. 1-6 against the number at home, 2-8 against the number to start this season. They're 2.5-point favorites here against the Hornets. It's a tough spot for Charlotte, but Donnie, like, how are you backing the Lakers right now?
I don't know how you're back in the Lakers right now. And this is one of those teams where it's the issue coming into the season was the only thing that matters is if we get this aging unit to the playoffs. But everybody joked and poked fun in the offseason, and it's already showing its head now, Kevin. A 5-5 Lakers team, a 500 Lakers team. And also look tonight. You say, okay, the plan is Charlotte Hornets, they still should be able to take care of business. They're starting the lineup that they're putting out tonight for the Lakers. Russell Westbrook, Avery Bradley, Kent Bazemore, Anthony Davis, and DeAndre Jordan. And keep in mind also, I believe Anthony Davis still struggling with either a thumb or a hand injury that he's trying to work through as well. No longer the team that's like, boy, they are 12 deep. They're signing every isn't fair, and the Lakers are going to roll to a victory. LeBron James getting older. When you get older, you get injured. So you're still going to bide your time, and there's a long way to go in the NBA season. And yes, it really only matters that if you finish in, what, the top eight or the top six, so you avoid that play-in game, that you can just run your way to an NBA title, because the first and second round of the playoffs take like 6 weeks to complete. And if you're an aging team, you get 4 days in between games, and that helps out. But this isn't a good look by the Lakers here. Look, you're supposed to be rested, ready, and healthy coming into the season, and the Lakers aren't that, Kevin.
At the end of the day, the Lakers are a very banged-up team, and it's not just LeBron. And I know some people will say, well, we told you that was going to happen. Look, Talon Horton-Tucker and Kendrick Nunn are a couple of 20-year-olds, right? So it's not about age, but they're very banged up. But the big issue is, what did everyone say when they brought Russ in? Well, it'll actually allow LeBron a little bit of leeway to miss some games. They're 0-2 against the Thunder without LeBron.
What's also more odd is they've had 15 or better point leads in both of those games. The Lakers have 5 losses. They've had double-digit leads in 3 of those games. So they've had moments, and they're banged up. This is a game that they should win tonight, but they're very difficult to back. It'll be interesting to see, by the way, a Russell Westbrook points prop coming off of a game where he shot 1 of 13 from the floor. He had averaged just a touch under 25 points per game in the 6 games prior, and that includes some games that LeBron played. I'll be interested to see where they hang a Russ prop tonight. We've also got some great games between the top of the Eastern Conference. We'll start it in Philadelphia. Listen, I can't believe how well this team is playing. I really thought they'd miss Ben a little bit more. I thought that Embiid might miss more time. And in fact, he's just out there playing. They're beating a Chicago Bulls team multiple times. They've won a bunch of games in a row. Tobias Harris is missing time. I just can't say enough good things, Donnie, about the Sixers. 4.5-point favorites here tonight against the Knicks, who are coming off of a back-to-back.
Yeah, back-to-back is key also. And you also take a look at the back-to-back here. The Knicks got embarrassed last night, so now moving forward to Philadelphia from a game that we saw just last week where the Knicks pretty much embarrassed the Philadelphia 76ers. And also keep in mind from a Sixers perspective, you are so correct here, Kevin. We're not really getting those dominant performances out of Joel Embiid early in the season. Tobias Harris has been on the COVID list for a few games now, and this team continues to will itself to victory. And you know me, I have the Chicago Bulls here to make the playoffs. Those are back-to-back nice wins over the Chicago Bulls with depleted style lineup. Tyrese Maxey, Seth Curry, Danny Green, Paul Reed, and Joel Embiid, the estimated starters tonight, and they are hanging around in the top of the Eastern Conference here. Pretty amazing stuff, but what are we going to get actually out of the New York Knicks? And we were doing a show on Friday night, having a fun time taking props. I need one Kemba Walker 3 from about 10 minutes ago in the third quarter, the rest of the way, and he doesn't play. He actually, quote-unquote, rested yesterday, so he's anticipated to be in the starting lineup tonight. And I know I'm going to probably find my way to build some sort of prop around this game, whether it be my favorite, a Julius Randle double-double. But I don't know if I can go back to the well. I know Evan Fournier is going to be launching threes. Kemba Walker, if he plays, will be able to launch threes. Tough game to figure out here, but you probably would lean towards the Sixers since it's a back-to-back. But then again, it's not a great-looking Sixers team, but here they are with Doc Rivers winning games, Kevin.
It's a spot where the number almost feels a little light on Philly, and that's not to disrespect the Knicks. But again, this is a Sixers team that has now won 6 games in a row, 5 straight covers. They've been great at home overall. They're 5-1 against the number as a favorite. Now, the Knicks are 2-0 straight up as a dog this year, but those were lighter numbers than this. And again, on the second leg of a back-to-back, the Sixers feel like they should be a safe piece if you're playing maybe a money line parlay on tonight's slate. But the number is a little light, and we know this is a Knicks team that I am not ever excited to fade them. Thibodeau off of a loss. You anticipate they'll show up and compete for this game. I'm sure DRS will have you locked and loaded for some props in play sports tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern start time here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 159. Don't forget it. How about Bulls-Nets? Oh, this is a good game here, man. The Nets underdogs again. The Bulls, though, starting to struggle a little bit, Donnie. This team has lost 5 straight first halves. The Nets now building a nice little win streak here in their own right. 7-3 record overall. What do you make of the Chicago Bulls as slight 1.5-point favorites here against Brooklyn?
Yeah, you want to see them bounce back. You know, you have a couple losses to, the Philadelphia 76ers. You want to show yourself that you are one of the teams in the Eastern Conference, to be fought with at the end of the season to try to make a playoff run, particularly making it into the playoffs. But what are we also going to get, Kevin, tonight out of the Brooklyn Nets, right? So you say you have the back-to-back game. James Harden playing himself back into shape. Another big-time stat performance on the scorer sheet last night. But the question is, how many minutes are we going to get tonight, Kevin? Because you don't have the big three. Kyrie Irving still out, obviously. James Harden logging minutes. Kevin Durant logging minutes. So is this one of those games where typically I would look at this like, boy, I really like three-point props. It's always a fun team to bet, Kevin. Three-point props here with the Brooklyn Nets because James Harden fires, Joe Harris fires, Durant can chime in, Patty Mills, drops threes. So it's a fun team to watch. But what are we getting tonight? So we're going to take a James Harden three-point prop because he'll play at least, 25 minutes in this game, probably launch 5 threes. needing to make two? Mm. Or is this one of those games where we lean more heavily to say somebody like a Patty Mills maybe getting extended minutes to try to give the big two a little bit of a break in this game? Should be a fun one to break down here, but you would have to lean to the Bulls. It's a bigger game earlier in the season for the Bulls for me than it is the Nets, and they got them right where they want them, coming off a back-to-back. We'll see how many minutes those big players on the Nets play.
Again, trying to buck the trend can be difficult, but the Bulls have to be aware of the fact that they're spotting all of their opponents' leads. Like, they actually ended up with a fourth-quarter lead in their 9-point loss to the Sixers just the other day. They need to come out focused here. You mentioned, by the way, Brooklyn props. Donnie, you know this problem. You know, a lot of people that follow us here on the grid. A little Nets, you know, betting preview always comes out, breaking down their game yesterday. The DRS special, 3-point prop parlay. Durant, Harden, and Harris all to make 2 threes was a nice little plus 129 payout. They all made 3 threes, Dude. Which is about a 6-to-1 shot, which was really nice there. The Nets are a fun props team. Again, I know often always kind of featured on a DRS special there. That's going to be a very, very good game to get involved with. There's two more games I want to make sure we bring up here. I think kind of rounding out your five biggest on a Monday slate. Warriors, Hawks, Atlanta, 0-6 against the number on the road this season. Golden State has now won and covered 4 straight games. ATL has allowed 117 or more points in 4 straight road games. A Golden State team total could certainly make sense here tonight. Golden State really starting to click on the offensive side of the ball, though it is a second leg of a back-to-back. Also, Nuggets Heat. Look at this spot here. This Miami team really being respected, and rightfully so, against the number. A 2-point favorite in Denver. The Nuggets right now are an under team. 8-1 under overall this season. It has been very low scoring affairs in Denver. 4-0 under at home. We go back to the NFL. AFC North breakdowns next.
What's up, everybody? It's your late night anger management professor inviting you to join me 6 nights a week at midnight Eastern on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Vent your rage with the top handicappers and insiders in the business. Tips are for waiters. Hedging is for garters. Pre-game breakdowns and post-game meltdowns. Lay it down and win with me, Gabriel Moretzi, 6 nights a week at midnight Eastern, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Other than that, you're on your own.
The best team in the AFC North? Anybody's guess. Maybe not. Maybe it's obvious. We also have an AFC North team in action tonight on Monday Night Football, which we, of course, will be breaking down momentarily. Let's start, though, with the game that featured two teams from the AFC North, and that was Browns-Bengals. The Cleveland Browns' 41-16 victory over Cincinnati jumps off the page. Baker's best game of the year. Nick Chubb was dominant. And Odell Beckham Jr. was nowhere to be found. At the end of the day, whether you're someone out there who thinks Odell is washed or you're wearing a free Odell shirt, you think he still has a lot to offer. I talked about this when the Odell trade request came down. People get so caught up in not giving a star athlete what they want that they lose sight of what is best for the team. Who cares if Odell wants out of Cleveland? Why did they want to keep him? It had become patently obvious that they were a better football team when he was gone. Why? Who cares? The evidence was there and it was put forward once again, Donnie. Cleveland, their best game of the season, 41-16 over Cincy.
Yeah, I was impressed also with the Cleveland defense as well. You get Jadeveon Clowney back, you know, on one defensive end to go with Myles Garrett on the other. And they were getting in Joe Burrow's face the entire game. 5 sacks they put him down for and had multiple quarterback hits. But also, let's take a look at Baker Mayfield, right? Very efficient performance, I guess we could say. 14 of 21, 218, 2 touchdowns, no picks, passer rating 132.6. Didn't look like he was forcing the ball out here. But anytime you have Nick Chubb got the ball 14 times in this game. Run the ball more, Cleveland. Cleveland? What are you doing? Yeah, he had a .137 on the ground, good for almost 10 yards per carry. This was a tail kicking all the way through this game, Kevin, and almost made the Cincinnati Bengals tap out in the second half, which you were watching this game, Tony Romo repeatedly saying, like, oh, man, I would sit Joe Burrow down for the last quarter and a half here because it's getting out of hand. That's how bad this performance was by the Cincinnati Bengals coming into this game, Kevin. We saw the Cleveland Browns. This was my teaser end of the pick six contest. And the reason I liked it was I actually thought Cleveland could win this game outright. Did I think 41-16? Not necessarily at that point. But this is one of the teams that you look at in the NFL saying, maybe too much too soon in this, because you saw them go and knock off the Baltimore Ravens on the road. Maybe they can be a serious playoff contender, then get beat by the Jets, which leaves a lot to be desired. Say, okay, now they're going to play a better football team in Cleveland. Can they handle their business at home? And they got wiped out. The Bengals dropped to 5-4, which is probably where they should be on the season. Maybe a year too soon, revamp that defense up, but I don't want to take anything away from the Cleveland Browns. This is a banged up, battered unit that really came to play against a division opponent and put them to sleep early. Great performance from the Browns.
Quickly on the teaser thing, people, I don't know if this is the formula, but it feels like it. Find someone out there you trust. Make them pick one teaser spot. You pick the other. This 8-1. 8-1 this year, Donnie and I on the tag team teaser. And at some point, one of us will win that week and one of us will lose. And I don't know who it's going to be, but I hope it's not me. But maybe not. Maybe we'll just keep doing this every single week. It's been really, really fun to follow. The pick six overall has been a blast, even though the money line dogs, the opportunities that could have been. Well, Donnie's probably should have hit. We'll get there in just a moment. I want to reemphasize something on Cleveland, though. I was going to bet this team to miss the playoffs this week. I felt that they were a little bit in disarray. Baker's injuries, the schedule. But then I looked at this game here against Cincinnati, and I realized if they won this game, that's a terrible bet. Because not only did that mean that Cleveland was playing some pretty good football, but it probably knocked out a team in Cincinnati that you were looking to keep in front of them. And Cleveland's going to be really fun to follow the rest of the way here, because maybe they are just going to be this much better without Odell. But on the Cincinnati side of things, Donnie, losing to the Jets was obviously very, very bad. But I guess it happens, right? I mean, the Bills lost to the Jaguars. But getting embarrassed like this against Cleveland, it was almost like all of the goodwill that they had built up by dominating Baltimore was immediately punted away here. And now it's a 5-4 Cincinnati team that you'll look at, you'll maybe want to bet them if they're catching above a field goal or something along those lines. I love their game next week because it's at Vegas. A couple of teams that, I don't know. Donnie, like, literally 2 weeks ago, the Bengals and the Raiders were tied for the best record in the AFC. You want to talk about two teams where you check that temperature and like, you just kind of throw your hands up, I feel like, Donnie.
No, you certainly do, and that's what parity in the NFL is. This is what's designed by the league, right, each and every year, Kevin. You have a salary cap that you can't go over. You also have the worst teams in the league getting better draft pick positions. You also have the worst teams the next year seemingly playing easier schedules. And this is what pans out here. So you're looking at it from a Bengals perspective. I still think they're an ultra-talented football team. I like Joe Burrow. I like their running back. I like their wide receivers. You know, Zach Taylor seemingly looks like he's going to save his job, but at the same time, that parity creeps in from time to time. That's back-to-back terrible performances by the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll see if they wake up because they're still in the playoff hunt here, Kevin.
The question about who is the best team in the AFC North, the team with the best record is the Baltimore Ravens. They moved to 6-2, beating the Minnesota Vikings in overtime, 34-31 final score. The Ravens love themselves some overtime, man. Their third OT game of the season. And this game was nearly perfect when you talk about the Dalvin Cook rushing prop that Donnie gave you that hit, I think, in the first quarter of this football game. You talk about an alt over on the pick six as well that cruised. And Donnie, I know Minnesota was your favorite team total of the week as well as a money line dog. I think you'll live with the split there. But boy, did Minnesota have this game seemingly locked up. It was 24-10, and then they lost 34-31 in OT.
Yeah, I haven't had many sweats here this season with my team total plays of the week now sitting at 12-4, and this one was no different here. 17 points before the break, an opening return to kickoff in the second half. So for all intents and purposes, another game that's been wrapped up at the half, which has been a few weeks now. But I got to say, watching this Minnesota Vikings team, you had the lead. And also, it just shows you how tough it is to cap the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson was terrible in the first half. Then just flip the switch. And the one thing I love about quarterbacks that know, like, I need to put this football team on my back. He finishes up. He threw 41 times. Lamar Jackson threw 41 dropbacks here, 266, three touchdowns, two interceptions. But, Kevin, he ran the ball 21 times for over 100 yards. When you need a big place, he gives it to you. Even when he's so far off in the first half, throwing interceptions, incomplete passes, looks like he's just not there, down double digits. They pull this victory out in overtime, 34-21. And I remember you talking about so many times over the summer, has the NFL figured out Lamar Jackson? Aha, the Vikings figured him out until they didn't. What a nice win by the Baltimore Ravens. 6-2 now, 4-1 at home. They are probably the most talented team. And after all those injuries that they had to so many positions, they still have Lamar Jackson, who in the regular season is an unstoppable force, Kevin.
All in all, though, Donnie, that little caveat that you applied right there at the back end, you factor in the question of who's the best team in the AFC North, and even the opening question of our show, who is the best team in the AFC? I'd like to submit to you the Baltimore Ravens, because the Ravens are a team that I think a lot of people say, look at all these games they could have lost. They could have lost to the Lions. They could have lost to the Colts. They could have lost right here to the Minnesota Vikings. But Donnie, that caveat that you apply, Lamar Jackson, a great regular season quarterback. Well, what is it, right? Can this guy win a game from behind? That's all he does all year long, Donnie. They have four wins this year where they trailed in the fourth quarter. Donnie, they were down in this game 24-10. Lamar Jackson led the comeback through three touchdown passes. See, when the Kansas City Chiefs for two straight years trailed in every single football game and then came back and won, they were the best team in the league, Mahomes the best quarterback in the sport, and all of that was true. But when Lamar does it, it seems not that good. Why? I don't understand. How is this guy not further up in an MVP race? I look at this Baltimore Ravens team, Donnie, and they're winning games in ways that they've never done during the Lamar era. You know this as well. They used to dominate in the regular season, blow teams out, pick on bad teams. Right now, this is a team that is just finding ways, and primarily because their franchise quarterback is able to play from behind and make massive plays, not just with his legs, but with his arm as well.
You're right about that. And you know what's interesting about this, Kevin? You know, you usually look at the end of a football game. It's usually you want Patrick Mahomes down three. Aaron Rodgers if you're down three with the last drive. Tom Brady if you're down three with the last drive. I got to tell you, with the Baltimore Ravens in close games, is there a better quarterback to have than Lamar Jackson? Well, Don, he's not really a great passer. It doesn't matter. Like, I honestly believe, Kevin, if you gave Lamar Jackson the ball in his own 20-yard line down three with 3 minutes to go, if he just said, you know what, I'm going to drop back, count to three, and run, they would end up scoring a touchdown on that drive if he didn't even throw a pass. And that's so crazy to look at, because you do see the flaws that he has in the first half, in the inaccuracy, you know, the interception, some of the bad decisions, the pass. But when the game is on the line and you know it's 3rd and 3, how are you stopping this guy when he says, okay, the pass rush is bearing down, let me sidestep, and oh, look at all this field in front of me. A fascinating football player that's turning into, Kevin, a clutch football player.
At the end of the day, he is 12-1 to win MVP. The running backs are Devonta Freeman and Le'Veon Bell. The wide receivers are Hollywood Brown, Mr. Dropsies. Mark Andrews dropped a touchdown to open this football game. On the Minnesota side of things, really good against the number on the road, good against the number as a dog. What does that do for you, though, when we talk about a 7th spot in the NFC that is just for the taking? Can anyone actually take it? Vikings, Eagles, Niners, Chicago Bears? Maybe. One of my favorite numbers I have seen in a props market all year long, and I don't mean favorite in terms we're going to bet it. I mean to just throw it to Donnie and let him react to it. That's coming up as well. Monday Night Football, Steelers, Bears, right here on the Early Line. We're back after a quick break. Keep it locked on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. One more game that we have to get before Monday Night Football. Texans, Dolphins, and Donnie, we both broke this game down. We were saying how it felt like one of us was bound to take Tyrod as the money line dog. Tyrod was back in the fold here. Tyrod was terrible against a defense that had been very vulnerable to start this season, but they've now put forward two respectable performances in a row, that game against Buffalo as well. Tyrod threw three interceptions, and the Dolphins won this game 17-9 with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. Tua Tagovailoa, a surprise absentee, dealing with a hand injury, I do believe, here. Donnie, what was your takeaway from Dolphins-Texans?
Just brutality, brutal in the NFL that teams can still operate this way. But you have the upper echelon teams. You have the lower teams on the totem pole. And these two teams were battling for that Sunday. Jacoby Brissett, a quarterback, you know, he threw four. It was just amazing because actually, Kevin, both of these quarterbacks threw into the 40s yesterday. So I said, wait a second. Okay, so we get maybe 85 drop back passes. What are we looking at? Maybe 45, 50 points at least total. No, 17-9 final. And it was every bit as bad as if you watched it. Now, also, one of those line moves that we see during the week, right? You say, okay, Tyrod's back, so the line moves a little bit. And then on game day or the day before game, you say, all right, Tua Tagovailoa is probably going to miss this game with a finger injury. Jacoby Brissett comes in, and the Dolphins crash down like a 3.5 or 4 by the time it got to the game. The Miami Dolphins were the better team from jump in this game all the way through. Houston didn't even show up, and this is all we could go off of, was saying, like, do you remember Tyrod Taylor against, oh, yeah, the Jacksonville Jaguars week one, and he played a good quarter and a half against the Cleveland Browns, so he was just supposed to parachute in and lead the Houston Texans to victory. The Houston Texans are 1-8 and 0-5 on the road for a reason. It's not because Tyrod Taylor's supposed to put this football team on his back. They are bad up and down the roster, and they showed it yesterday. Not even Tyrod Taylor coming in for Davis Mills made any bit of a difference. 26 total points in this game. Ooh, man.
It really interesting to follow, I think, Houston going forward as they've now lost 8 in a row. They're hitting the bye week. What does the back end of that schedule look like for this team? Is Tyrod maybe going to get back to a little bit of that flashes that we saw early season? Could they perhaps start to cover some numbers off of that this terrible game here? But by the way, teams off the bye still just performing terribly against the number. Miami, Brissett, Tua, it makes no difference. The numbers never move based on who the quarterback is. They book them the same. Let's talk Bears-Steelers. Pittsburgh is a 7-point favorite. The total is 39.5. Now, when you break down a game, you start side total, you get to the props. I don't care. I need to bring up a number immediately. And Donnie should know the number I'm going to bring up. There is a yardage prop here tonight.
Yeah.
There is a passing yardage prop here tonight. And no, it is not Big Ben's. Justin Fields, the number tonight, 184.5. No, it's the weather is beautiful tonight in Pittsburgh. It's not as if the Steelers are only allowing 150 yards passing per game. No, in fact, they're averaging, letting up over 250 passing yards per game. 184.5 DRS. What do you make of Justin Fields' passing yards prop here tonight?
It's interesting to say the least. Now, let's take a look at the Chicago Bears. You know, offense, the way they run through Matt Nagy, okay? It doesn't matter. Man. Like Andy Dalton, the quarterback, or Justin Fields, the young rookie at a quarterback. You see this rush, this field, this, Justin Fields passing prop over at 184.5. And you usually think to yourself in the NFL, well, that's a really bad game by an offense overall to throw for less than 200 yards in a game. Boy, what does that happen? Maybe, I don't know, in a good football team, 3 times a year, quarterback just didn't have it. Bad weather conditions, only threw for 180 or 165. Let's take a look at the Chicago Bears' offensive output passing the football through the entire season. What if I were to tell you that 184.5 was maybe the best performance that they've had the entire season? Because there was a game with Andy Dalton, they threw for 188. So take that out of the equation. Justin Fields threw for 185 versus that horrendous Detroit Lions defense as his best performance. Last week versus San Francisco, which they lost the game 33-22, he was electric. Did you see him out there? Yeah, I saw him throw for 148 yards in a double-digit loss. So the fact that they're hanging at 184, most people look at them like, I don't understand. They're probably going to lose the game, so you would have to think they are throwing. Don't be surprised if Justin Fields pulls up at the half, 6 of 14 for 62 yards in the first half, but, oh, he had two electrifying runs for 38 yards. It's an amazing – it almost makes me, Kev, at this point, just want to take the over and watch it unfold and be like in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
He has 110 yards passing. They're down two touchdowns. What did I miss in this stuff? It's amazing that it sits there, but it's right. Basically, 184 and a half, Kevin. He's done that one time this year. And oh, yeah, it was for 185 yards. Craziness.
Like, Donnie, against Tampa Bay, right? A game that they lost by 35 against a secondary you're supposed to throw all over. They're down the whole football game. 22-32, 184, no touchdowns, three picks. I mean, I don't know. There honestly is a real chance that Donnie and I tonight put a couple of dollars on this passing yards prop over just to have a little bit of fun. Like, I can't even make a compelling argument for the 500 passing yards and four passing touchdowns prop that I love so much. I assume the number is going to be like a million to one, because in what world is that going to happen in this game? We'll get back to the yardage.
Did you see his all prop number, Kev?
What is it for, like 200 yards?
Number? Justin Fields. This is fantastic. Just think about this here. Think about this. We look at alt yards, right? Let's preface it by saying Carson Wentz the week before we watched in Thursday Night Football, his alt prop number was 225 at like minus 300. Justin Fields' alt prop number to throw for more than 200 yards is a plus 132 right now at FanDuel Sportsbook, Kevin. Insanity. Insanity.
Plus 470 for him to throw for 250 passing yards. The other night, Tannehill and Stafford to combine for 500 yards and four touchdowns was a minus number. Plus 470. That's what Donnie has bet for both quarterbacks to throw touchdowns in each half of the game. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal number. I will add quickly, again, we'll get back to props. Fields rushing props 37 and a half. His last three games, 43, 38, 103. Might just be a spot where they're not able to set it high enough just yet in terms of a rushing number there on Fields. Donnie, let's talk side and total, though, quickly here. The Bears, 1-5 against the number as an underdog. The Steelers, as you expect from a Mike Tomlin team, 0-3 against the number as a favorite. They lay 7 here against the Bears. Tonight's total, 39. What in the Iowa, Wisconsin? 39.5.
And it's a Monday, so we're all going to watch it. We're all going to bet it. You know, in-play sports night, we'll be firing out props left and right, which I have a couple for tonight. But it's funny because you look at this line, Kevin, right? Pittsburgh Steelers at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, -7, and you're right, that total 39.5. Your first inclination, if you're just thinking about the Bears and the Steelers, is, ooh, 7 feels like a lot in this game because the Pittsburgh Steelers offense isn't that good. You know, the Bears maybe can put together some drives here, but stay close here. But what tells you that? Nothing. Look at the last three games. Hey, the Bears keep it close, right? 24-14 Green Bay. That is a loss. Loss against the line as well. Tampa Bay, 38-3. Loss against the line as well. San Francisco, 33-22. Double-digit margin. Loss against the spread. Loss straight up again. So if we're just looking at saying this is too many points for the Pittsburgh Steelers, maybe it's not because it's the Chicago Bears. And Kevin, how many times do we look at these games with quarterbacks and the only mindset is if you're getting a touchdown, right? Put yourself into this game. Justin Fields on his own 25-yard line, down 10 points in this game, has to drive the length of the field with 2 minutes to go when the other team doesn't care which way they score as long as they eat up a minute and 45 seconds. Do you trust Justin Fields? I don't trust Justin Fields in that spot. And then having said that, somehow, some way tonight, I will be on Justin Fields' props here saying, can't even believe it. He only needed 150 yards because I have a prop bet right now, Kevin, that I am looking at square. You talked about it last night and many games before that we've had. Each quarterback to throw a touchdown in each half is usually the better quarterbacks, plus 380 in that range, like line up a Patrick Mahomes and the Josh Allen. Probably like a plus 380 price, maybe a little bit shorter than that. Average quarterbacks around the 5-1 to 6-1 range. I've never seen this before because I had to go to the game specials, Kevin, and continue to scroll down going, ha, They didn't even list it because it doesn't even make any sense and nobody would bet it until I found 16-1. That means bet $100 on this game for this to happen and you get a price back of $1,600. That's for Justin Fields to throw a first half touchdown and a second half touchdown, along with Ben Roethlisberger to do the same thing. Again, it's usually 4-1. It's 16-1, Kevin, in this game.
I think, like, and to be honest with you, because we have a lot of the like foundational numbers of where these are, Donnie. Each team to score a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown, often a boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and after being boosted, plus 250, it's plus 420 tonight straight.
Man.
I mean, there's like no way I don't end up betting that. There's no way I don't end up getting a little taste of that. Can I add one more here, Donnie, on the game specials featured? Yeah. Usually, this is a... So a lot of times they'll offer you both teams. You could have whichever you'd like, the dog or the favorite. Usually the favorite's obviously more attractive. To win the game, the most rushing yards and the most passing yards. Now, that usually doesn't really make sense because, well, you would think then the team that wins, they got to throw the football a lot more. But if you think about tonight, right? Pittsburgh is a 7-point favorite, and Mike Tomlin is 16-4 overall on Monday Night Football. Most rushing yards, they're supposed to be up in the game. They should be running it more. And most receiving yards, well, we just said it. Justin Fields never, he can't throw the football. I mean, plus 230, Donnie, that's not a bad look on a little, you know, kind of calculated parlay to take that Steelers money line down from minus 320 to plus 230.
No, it's not bad at all. And also, when you take a look at the odds boost, which you know they'll probably pop up a few more today, the Steelers to win by between 1 to 13 points, Kevin, that's boosted from 130 to 160. You know, we always like to say, hey, FanDuel, give us one of these that's not an extreme long shot here and boost it a little bit. That seems legitimate because if the Steelers do win this game, can they win by 14 or more? Sure, they can. But if you're looking for a victory here, it's probably going to be a close one. I think that's a valid boost that I'm going to be taking a look at a little bit later today. Another one that I have here, Kevin, Chase Claypool, anytime touchdown, and I have terrible writing. I believe it's a plus 150 sitting here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, but I do think that's a legitimate shot. It could be 130. It could be 140. It could be 150. That's DRS on a Monday morning trying to write things down quickly here, Kevin.
Donnie, let me also add another prop, and this pains me to do this. It really does. I shouldn't have to do this. Donnie and I did some season-long player props. Overall, things are going well. My guy, Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson is going to have to average 90 receiving yards a game in order to get over his mark. Maybe the most profitable bet of the year has been Allen Robinson's under receiving yards, which in 8 games this year has cashed 7 times. Tonight's number, 37.5. He has actively gone over that mark twice. Allen Robinson! The man's a top 12 receiver in the game! What is this team? How did this happen? Where is Dalton? 37.5. What did I get myself into? I got to bet Allen Robinson over tonight, Donnie. Justin Fields over. I'll tell you this right now. In-play sports tonight is going to be a mess. Yeah. And I can't wait, and you can't miss it. 7 p.m. Eastern right here on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Donnie Wrightside closes out the early line next. 37.5.
This is the Technology Minute with George Capalbo.
A private ride to space, it's all fun and games if you're William Shatner.
In an instant, you go, whoa.
Otherwise, lately, space tourism is having a few technical problems. SpaceX Crew Dragon?
Stinky.
Leaky plumbing?
Oh.
Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic? Grounded by the FAA for airspace violations. And unless you're comped like Shatner for your ride,
this is so weird.
Your 1-hour flight
really expensive.
Now there's an alternative. Worldview and Space Perspective are offering up to 12-hour leisurely balloon flights 100,000 feet up to the top of the stratosphere with gourmet meals and the world's highest rooftop bar with separate plumbing. Follow me at GCapalbo on Twitter and stay tuned to The Technology Minute for more cool stuff like this.
Segment of the day here for a Monday on the early line. Both myself, Donnie Whiteside, and Kevin Walsh carrying you through 7 to 9 before we hand it off to the morning after with Ben Stevens and a special guest host in the 9 o'clock hour. Yes, that would be one me, DRS. But thank you guys for tuning in here, SiriusXM channel 159. Always like to spend a couple minutes talking about some salient points that we may have seen over the weekend. Number one, being an NFL handicapper, sometimes things get tough. Yesterday, I was able to pick and choose and won my team total on the Minnesota Vikings fairly easily. But when you're looking at overall spreads and lines sometimes, man, it's a little bit wacky in the NFL. Because even though you beat the line, and sometimes it feels like the right direction you're going in, it just doesn't work out. And that's NFL betting here. But as long as you keep to the same things that you like to look at, and eventually, those things will work out. Case in point yesterday, if you were looking at the San Francisco 49ers, I thought they would win that football game going away. Colt McCoy, a quarterback, no DeAndre Hopkins. No problem for who? The Arizona Cardinals. Take a look at the Miami Dolphins. Not a great football team, favored by 6.5 during the week. Tua Tagovailoa down and out for the Dolphins. Jacoby Brissett starts. And oh yeah, Tyrod Taylor's coming back. Ah, sign me up for the Houston Texans. Not so fast. And case in point, last night in the Sunday night football game between the Los Angeles Rams and the Tennessee Titans, the same exact thing. No Derrick Henry, no problem for the Rams. Not so fast. The Tennessee Titans absolutely blew the doors off the Rams in their home building, which will be hosting the Super Bowl. Also, quick point here on Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. It wasn't a referendum yesterday. And a lot of this is Baker Mayfield's biggest game he's ever had. There are bigger fish to fry for Baker Mayfield than appeasing a wide receiver and putting up a good performance in a victory without that big-time receiver, Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham's going to find this team. We'll probably find over the next 48 hours where Odell Beckham is going. The one thing that we do know for sure, people, is that Odell Beckham Jr. is not a difference maker on the Cleveland Browns, as you saw yesterday. We'll see with the rest of the season what Baker Mayfield is able to do without Odell Beckham Jr. And also, as always, interested to see where Odell Beckham Jr. goes as well. But that'll do it today for the early line on a Monday, playing armchair quarterback with myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. We hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after right here on the grid.